The Starting Block with Taimoor Nabili, where business meets blockchain on Money FM 89.3.
Hello and welcome to The Starting Block on Money FM 89.3 and episode 4 in our series of conversations with innovators, entrepreneurs and business people who are leading the way in devising new models to use blockchain as a way to gain a competitive advantage in an already crowded market. There are few bigger global industries than the media and entertainment industry. This market was worth around $1.7 trillion US dollars in 2015, and it's expected to reach about $2.1 trillion by 2020. And the landscape is dominated by massive multinational corporations like Disney, Fox, Alphabet, which is Google's parent, and Viacom, names like that. In short, some pretty big fish and some very fierce competitors. So, how can a small startup get into this business? However good your idea or talented your staff, what can your small company do that a big, rich, experienced company can't do better? Well, there's obviously no easy or all-purpose answer to that question. But here in Singapore, there is one startup that is trying, using a bit of cunning strategy and a nimble reliance on blockchain technology. That company is called Bolt. And the co-founder of the organization, Crystal Quek, is with me today. Crystal, thanks for coming along.
Well, thank you, Taimoor. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today. Actually, this is my first radio interview, so I'm quite excited. No audiovisual aids for me today.
Just voice. Yes. So tell me about the entertainment industry. Tell me about how Bolt came around. Because before you got into blockchain, the idea of Bolt was actually built on a fairly traditional business plan, wasn't it?
Yes. So Bolt for us has been around for about a year and a half or so. It started as a very simple idea. You know, we wanted to be able to serve and distribute really short form content, live TV and short form content to emerging markets that could be constrained by data bandwidth. And we worked with telcos in different markets like Maxis and Digi in Malaysia. Like, you know, we're starting a new partnership, for example, with Bungalink in Bangladesh, the second largest telco there, as well as different telcos in Indonesia.
All right. So that's a great go-to-market strategy from the get-go, isn't it? You're not competing with the likes of Disney because I guess they don't target those small markets in the first place.
No, because we look at volume. I think that's the first part of it. And the other part of it is looking at countries that people miss out on. So say, for example, our go-to-market strategy in Bangladesh, it's a market that people kind of ignore, even though it's just right next to India. So a lot of people ask us, why do you not go to India? And I said, well, I like to go to Bangladesh because everybody overlooks that country, but actually it's full of potential. I mean, you're looking at a country full of about 100 million people. The largest telco there has 50 million people. I mean, Telenor, you know, they opened Grameenphone in Bangladesh, right? Mm. And Bungalink is a local competitor as well, and they have 30 over million people. Compare that to, say, you know, even the US or even here in Singapore, where Singtel has about, what, 3-4 million subscribers. It's a no-brainer for me to go in there, get some really good content, focus on our USPs and deliver it. But we came across a challenge after 1.5 years. You see, the issue that we always had was to be able to access these, not just the unbanked, but also the underbanked populations. Because, like it or not...
Before you get into the sort of payment side of things, let me just ask you about the go-to-market strategy here. Yeah. So you're going for markets that are underserved already. So you're not going head-to-head with traditional industry.
Yeah.
You're also leveraging some different technologies, right? Mm. Which is you're using mobile phones rather than the internet to deliver your content. So there's also a sort of slight technology edge to your approach. So let's get on to the pain points that you faced.
Yeah, so a lot of these markets that we're looking at, you know, they're not just unbanked, but they're also underbanked. They hardly use their bank accounts. So there goes the saying that, you know, you don't really use your credit cards or debit cards either. Their form of payment that they're most familiar with is still linked to the mobile wallet that they have with their telco. So they will pay for goods and services using their mobile wallet, and they will deduct the cash equivalent, I would say, from their existing, you know, airtime billing, for example, with, say, you know, Maxis or Digi or, you know, Telkomsel. It's pretty common in these emerging markets.
So they do have the capacity to pay.
Yes.
Technologically, but it's through the telcos rather than through a banking system.
Right, exactly. And it's a win-win situation because a lot of the times, right, people need data. Data is the new currency that people can't live without, right? I mean, that's why the social networking phenomenon exploded. Mm. But there came another challenge. You see, the user will pay instantly for the service. You know, whether it's through, you know, topping up at a convenience store or, you know, to the telco directly. And the telcos will take time to collect a lot of this accumulated money from the users at different access points throughout the country. And when you're talking about a country like Indonesia or even Malaysia, it can get quite arduous as the task, right? As it is. I mean, you talk about hundreds of access points. So the user will pay instantly. The telco would collect and process all these payments 2 months later. It would get to Bolt, you know, say 3 or 4 months later. And we pay the content creators who are on our platform, because we do a revenue share basis on the old model, 5 or 6 months later. So it didn't make sense, because I was sitting down with my other co-founder and CEO, Jamal, right? And he's a media veteran and he's very familiar with telco space. We were wondering how we could cut short the time where the user pays instantly, but the content creator gets the money 6 months later, never mind about us in between. Mm. And that's when the idea of actually building it on a blockchain happened.
I'm talking to Crystal Kwek, co-founder of Bolt, a startup news and entertainment platform born in Singapore but targeting emerging markets in the region, and discovering along the startup journey that the new blockchain technology may be a perfect way to solve one of the business's biggest obstacles. And Crystal,
you've discovered that there are markets where you can serve a product to an underserved consumer base.
Yep.
But the problem is payments, and the problem is, as I see it, is twofold. First is they can't pay very much, but the other problem is that even though when they do want to pay, the whole transactional mechanism is dysfunctional, right? And this is where blockchain comes in.
Yeah, because traditionally to monetize, you know, the entertainment industry, I would say for the emerging markets where people are have less access to disposable income, less access to paying online, you know, and that's why the mobile wallet came about, was through advertising. Right, all the internet giants that you see today, I mean, they monetize largely through advertising. I mean, what was Facebook's revenue? That's why Facebook would rather subsidize the data cost to get the Philippines online, Indonesia online, but they serve a ton of ads, you know, which far eclipse whatever they paid for the data access to these telcos. So that's why we wanted to give the consumers a choice instead of being blasted by advertising that could be meaningless to them. I mean, it could be I came from the advertising industry as well. I know what it's like if advertising was not done correctly. Not to say that everyone is not doing it correctly, but it could be done better, especially for these emerging markets, right? And targeting based on demographics alone or even behavioral data is not easy in these emerging markets.
All right. And
that's why the monetization has to be different.
So tell me, how did you first think, okay, blockchain might help us in this?
So we wanted to create an ecosystem which could power by itself and find a way, like a credit system of sorts, where the content creator gets paid, the user gets access to content that they genuinely appreciate, there is no meaningless advertising on the platform, then the telcos and the distributors also get to make money. We just provide the ecosystem. And
they get to make money on time, that being a key thing,
yes,
right?
Make money on time, exactly. Because I think existing models, right, I mean, the problem with collections as it is that a lot of people make money on the side, on the float, that happens as well. So we don't want to do any of that. If the user pays instantly, the content creator needs to get it instantly as well.
So it's a pretty ambitious model. Decrease the reliance on advertising, eliminate the collection and sometimes abuse of personal data, and instead provide a service that is easy and cheap to access and which guarantees that all parties are paid for their service on time. The business in question is called Bolt. Join me and the company co-founder Crystal Kwek tomorrow when we'll explain how a blockchain application can make all this happen. You've been listening to The Starting Block.